Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the Indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I would now like to introduce this morning's panel from Helio Health. In order to allow for enough time for our panel to present and answer your questions, I'm going to keep these introductions brief and allow our speakers to more time to talk about what they do. So today we will hear from Susan LaPlaca, Marketing Specialist, Laura Brennan, Inpatient Service Director, Ben Candle, Outpatient Service Director, Mary DiGiovanna, Child and Adolescent Clinic Director, and Emily Hunt, Inpatient Clinic Director. Susan, I will now turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate you having us here today. We're super excited to tell you a little bit about what we do and who we are. Before I turn you over to my esteemed colleagues who do the real work here at Helio Health, I just wanted to give a very brief overview about what we do in the community. Essentially, our mission is to promote recovery from the effects of substance use and mental health disorders. And so that's pretty simple mission, but it gets very complicated because we're not just about treatment, we're also about transformation. We believe in treating the whole person, and as such, we offer a wide variety of services for recovery and overall well-being. I think we might in the community be best known for our substance use treatment services, and we provide both inpatient and outpatient treatment services, and I'll let my colleagues talk about that in just a minute. But we also provide mental health counseling and recovery. We have a wide variety of housing programs, everything from mental health housing to affordable housing, supportive housing, and everything in between. And then we also have a bunch of ancillary and specialty services, such as gambling, services for folks involved in the criminal justice system, veteran services. We have a financial management unit. So really whatever services we can wrap around the person to help with their whole being and their whole program of wellness. You may have heard in January that we merged with two other organizations, Central New York Services and Insight House. And we're super excited about that endeavor because it allowed us, our combined resources allow us to serve more than 13,000 people every single year. We have just over 35 sites in which we provide services and programs. And we have about just under 1,000 colleagues to help us do this work. So we're really happy about being able to put forth this really great effort in the behavioral health realm. My role as the marketing specialist for Helio Health is really to be a connector between our organization and the community. So if a person needed a referral to one of our programs or more information or to connect with someone who works in one of our programs or literature or to engage us in community events, I would be the go-to for that. So I will leave my contact information in the chat box and you can feel free to reach out at any time. If I don't know the answer to your question, I know how to find out. So I'll be happy to do that for you. And then lastly, I don't think I would be a good marketing specialist if I didn't remind everyone that we have a pretty good social media presence. And we love to connect with the community in that regard on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn. So you can feel free to search us out on those sites and connect with us in that way also. And with that, I will go ahead and turn our presentation over to Emily, who is our inpatient clinic director. Hi, Emily. And I was hoping that you wouldn't mind giving sort of an overview of our inpatient services.
Absolutely. So hi, everyone. My name's Emily. I'm the inpatient clinic director here at our Syracuse location. We also have inpatient locations in Binghamton and recently in Rochester as well. The Syracuse location is called The Willows, and we have inpatient and detox services here. Our inpatient program has 40 beds for men and women, and our detox has 25 as well. So our program really focuses on starting that process of healing, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, that whole scope of wellness. So we have 24/7 medical services available in our building. We have a full-time psychiatric nurse practitioner for mental health help. And our counselors work to submit referrals for continuing care, whether that's with outpatient, residential services, and it doesn't even have to be within Helio Health. We refer people elsewhere throughout the state, even sometimes out of state if that's needed. And we work with them to really start developing those skills to start living a successful life back in the community. So our folks range in array of different needs. And so we really try to make sure that our care is very person-centered. So the length of stay for our inpatient program really can be a range between like 21 and 28 days. We typically try to strive for a 28-day program, just because a lot of the patterns and behaviors and all that, they take a long time to kind of remold a little bit. So we want to make sure that we're giving our patients enough time to adequately regain those skills or gain them for the first time ever. So our services really, it's focused on a continuum of care. So we really try to strive to have ongoing services available for them. We have some offsite things to, or we have people from offsite that come on site. So we have ACR come in and do HIV testing and informational sessions. A lot of our groups are psychoeducational. And then we also have process groups that focus on things more directly with mental health, substance use, grief and loss, legal things, vocational. So we really try to provide a lot of different topics. That way our patients can get a taste for what things they need to kind of expand on, maybe at the next level of care. So the 28 days goes by rather quickly. So we don't have a lot of time to go super in depth with a lot of folks. And also it's not always necessarily safe for us to open up a lot of things with them. So we kind of provide the information and give them the resources within the community so that way they can continue at that next level of care. Our detox program, the length of stay for that really depends on the drug of choice. And that program is definitely more focused on the substance use rather than the mental health, but it's very, very co-occurring as well. So we still have that full-time staff there available 24/7. Medical staff, again, they have to be appropriate for that level of care to make sure that we can medically supervise them appropriately. But yeah, that's pretty much the Willows for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily. All right. So next I wanted to introduce you to Ben Kandel, who is our outpatient service director. So this is sort of the other spectrum of treatment. Where folks do not like stay overnight. So Ben, take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, my name is Ben Kandel and I am the service director for the outpatient service program in Syracuse. And I oversee, if you guys remember the old Learberry building that you see off of 81, that's majority of that building falls under the outpatient setting. So we've grown quite substantial over the last couple of years. I oversee a team of 8 additional leadership individuals in the outpatient setting that help many thousands of people every month. Within my team, we see individuals or patients or clients from ranging from the age of 0 all the way up to 100. We have every different type of counselor you can think of to help support each individual that's coming in the doors. Within our outpatient program, we have a child adolescent program, which I'm gonna have Mary speak on in a few minutes, that help children from the age, again, from 0 to roughly 21. and support them through many different challenges they might be facing, whether it's mental health or any type of recovery issues that they can help them with. Additionally, we have an entire adult program that helps with anything from behavioral health, substance abuse, gambling, and many other challenges that we're facing today, all the way up to, and as I'm sure we're all being challenged with, is the pandemic. We're even doing Monday morning radio segments on one of the local radio stations discussing the mental health challenge that we're facing specifically regarding the pandemic. And to me, that's been a very interesting process to, you know, talk to and work with people in the community and to hear what really people are struggling with. I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to each Monday. And then within our adult programs, we work with people from that are struggling with mental health, substance abuse issues, family system challenges, and we have all sorts of therapeutic models that we utilize that the 60 plus counselors that we have in our program are all trained in or trained into specific areas that can support each one of our clients and our patients coming in the door. And then I'll hand it over to Mary to talk specifically about our child and adolescent program.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. So I oversee the child and adolescent portion of our outpatient clinic, which is integrated with our outpatient clinic. So we are all one, but specifically within the child and adolescent clinic, we treat individuals ages 0 to 21. So pretty broad variety of presentations, but we're often working with kids and families who are struggling with depression, anxiety, other mood things. Behavioral issues at school. We've certainly seen a lot of changes in terms of symptoms and struggles related to the pandemic. We provide individual counseling and family counseling. So we really look at what the family needs and what's going on. Often we have multiple siblings involved, so we can treat the family as a whole. So we have counselors as well as medication providers. We have psychiatrists and psych NPs who help coordinate with the counselors to see if medication will be a good fit for the family. We have family therapists as well, and medical staffs and nurse who helps work with our clients. We treat adolescents who struggle with mental health issues as well as substance abuse issues. So we certainly see kind of the emerging adulthood age and adolescent age with early experimentation and substance abuse. So we work with the families and the kids who are coming in to address that in a really patient-centered way. I think that can certainly be difficult to identify that as an issue with a young adolescent or a young adult. So looking at what, how we can help provide supports for that. And there's a lot of crossover with our adult clinic, which allows us to provide all these services across the spectrum. So we're really able to look at what the family is struggling with and kind of fit in the pieces that will help them be successful.
It looks like Laura is not going to be able to join us today, but the other Emily did such a wonderful job explaining our inpatient services. So we can take questions. And I also wanted to just remind or just point out that one of the things, one of many things that Helio Health is doing to sort of help fight this opioid crisis we're facing is we do provide free community Narcan training. And that's naloxone is the drug for opioid overdose reversal. And we do have a training coming up on Wednesday, March 31st at 1 o'clock. That's open to the community. And we'll be doing lots more throughout the summer. So that's just one thing to keep in mind if folks want to get trained in how to administer Narcan.
Thank you so much, everyone. So questions are already rolling in, so we'll just go ahead and get started. First question, how is this all funded for folks to get the services?
So majority of our patients are on Medicaid or third-party carriers. We do utilize some sliding scale support with patients that might need it. But I would say, at least on the outpatient setting, 90% of our patients fall into the Medicaid platform. What's amazing about, I think, all of the Helio programs is that we have PAS staff, patient access specialists, that will help patients, even if they don't have insurance at that moment, be able to walk them through and almost always be able to get them on some type of insurance. So we're very successful in supporting them really from start to finish in what they're going through. And oftentimes, as we all know, it doesn't start with what they're feeling at that moment. There's been some challenges that have been building up all to get to this point. And whether it's financial struggles or other challenges, we really do help them, you know, like how Susan put it, we help the whole person. So even including insurance.
Thank you. Next question. How are people referred to your different services? Because it sounds like there's a wide range, so you probably get a lot of different sources.
I guess I'll take that one too. from everywhere. And I say that with a big smile, because sometimes it's hard to keep track of where the referrals are coming from, because they are coming in from many different counties, many different agencies, hospital settings, other parts of our departments, other agencies. I'm really proud of the fact that in Central New York, because we have too many people to help and not enough people to help them. So we work as a large team in this community to really support each other. So whether it's with Emily, you know, needing to send someone to another inpatient facility, or utilizing another outpatient setting, or if someone's coming in for one level of care but needs something else, or need to go to a different facility just because they need a change of scenery, we are glad to refer. Like I said, we need to continually help as many people as we possibly can.
And I think to jump onto that, we see often when families get involved with the clinic, so, you know, a parent comes in and recognizes that they're getting support and that their child can come in as well. We're able to structure treatment so that the family can come in at one time and be seen kind of together. Maybe the kiddo comes upstairs to the child and adolescent clinic while mom or dad is being seen for their sessions. And that is one of the ways that we're able to connect kind of all these different pieces and help the systems.
That's great. Thank you.
And I'll just add one more thing. Sorry.
No.
We are actually defined as in the outpatient setting, we're defined as a CCBHC, which is a certified community behavioral health center. And we're actually one of 16 in the whole state that have this title. And there's a lot of additions to it and a lot of explanations, but most importantly, it allows us to have all the services needed to help someone in one place. As you can tell, we have inpatient and detox departments. We have case managers to support patients. We have peer specialists. We have a child and adolescent department. We have an adult department, an on-site pharmacy here at Learbury. We have an entire open access team that allows us to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anyone that needs anything, they can come to Learbury location and get support any day, anytime. And then also to be able to provide both substance abuse and mental health, again, all in one platform, that really, I think, separates us from a lot of other agencies. It takes a lot of work and a lot of logistics to utilize all these services, but we're quite proud of having that recognition of being a CCBHC.
Great, thanks so much. So this question's kind of similar to what you were just talking about, Ben. So can you talk about how old Helio Health is? I know it used to be Syracuse Behavioral Healthcare, and just like kind of a brief kind of overview of where you started. Maybe it's Ben and Susan kind of tag team this question.
Susan, you want to start it?
You probably know. Susan, question.
I would be glad to. I forgot to mention when I opened that last year in 2020, Helio Health celebrated its 100th anniversary of providing service in the Syracuse community. We were scheduled to have a big gala event and welcome the community to come and celebrate with us. And then the pandemic happened, so that all got put on hold. But we did celebrate internally because we're super proud of that great work. We started back in the 1920s. We had one property, which was our current Green Street residence, and it was called the Segola Club. And it had a little bit of a different spin, but over the years we grew to just sort of meet the needs of the community and providing services for a really vulnerable population. And as you mentioned, we did used to be known as Syracuse Behavioral Health, but we rebranded a few years ago to sort of more adequately represent what it is we're trying to do here on a regional level.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
So next question kind of is super relevant according to the news yesterday, unfortunately. The Skyline Apartments on James Street has been in the news recently for dangerous conditions for residents and visitors. Helio is one of the agencies paying for clients to live there. So this person is curious about what you were doing to get your 70 plus clients out of there, or what kind of support you're kind of looking at there.
I will go ahead and take this one on a brief level. I cannot comment too much because it is something that's in the news, but I know that at this very moment, our senior leadership team is meeting on this very topic to figure out how to go forward in a way that is best suitable for the clients that we're serving.
Thank you. What is the Helio service area in terms of geographic in Central New York?
I would say a vast majority of our services are provided in the Syracuse area, but we have a presence in Rochester, in Binghamton, and also in Utica and the Mohawk Valley.
And then additionally, we have our CODI team that—
Yes, thank you, Ben.
Absolutely, that goes out to six different counties that surround Onondaga. That can meet anyone where they're at to help with what their need, whether it's signing paperwork or just being able to just start the discussion of maybe getting some help. We can go out to that community and support them.
And I want to add that because of the pandemic, one of the silver linings is that we're able to provide telehealth services. So right now we're really able to reach a lot of people who may have struggled with transportation or scheduling issues to get to our building for services in the past. Now, as long as they have access to a telephone, a computer, some way that they can call us or video in with us, we can provide services for them wherever they are.
Great, thanks so much. Next question. Can you explain or talk about how the pandemic has impacted the opioid crisis in Syracuse? Maybe Ben can start on that since you talked about it a little bit already.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a challenge in so many different ways. And I think we've all seen it in the different areas of Helio. And let's face it, everyone on this call has seen it and felt the challenges that the pandemic is putting on all of us. But at Helio, you know, it was amazing to see within a 1 week window, 2 weeks tops, we had laptops in the majority of counselors' hands to support the patients and allow them to continue on with care. Unfortunately, in a lot of areas of the country that didn't happen. And so we have a lot of patients in the US right now that are really struggling and don't have the support, whether it's agencies that had to close because of financial struggles, they didn't necessarily have the technology to support their patients. It's quite scary because whether it's mental health or substance abuse, you know, those tend to be reactions or challenges based on other areas of their life. And, you know, a pandemic affects us all and it puts a challenge on how we're dealing with our current life. And so it will extend or increase some of the mental health or substance abuse that people are currently dealing with or bring upon a new challenge that they were never facing prior to that. So, you know, it's affecting all of us. Like I told you earlier, you know, being on discussing this on the radio, even how, you know, it's affecting parents trying to balance both work and being a teacher and being a PE teacher and trying to, you know, not allow them to be on so much iPad time and but still have enough time to do their work. And so these are the things that people are coming in discussing. And this is also the challenge that our staff are facing on a daily basis. So, you know, we see it in every avenue, in every part of our company, you know, and so it definitely has increased our patients needing help. I could go on this for like hours, so I apologize.
Thank you. Next question. Can individuals refer themselves or others to your program, or do you have to go through like an agency or something like that?
No,
anyone can walk in. Like I said, we have a phone number and we have a physical address that any person can walk in and get services. We're here to help, ready to go. We try to put as few obstacles in people's way because it's hard enough sometimes to make that first step to helping yourself. And so we try to really ease that by providing a ton of support and access to care.
To jump in on that, I think typically we're able to get someone connected to a counselor through, so they come in, they do kind of the initial assessment intake stuff, and they get connected to a counselor within a few weeks. So that's one of the things that we really strive to get people in, because once you take that step and say, hey, I want help for my family or my kiddo, you don't want to wait for it, right? So
that's great. Thank you. Next question. Do you have clients residing in the Green Building, and how are they progressing?
So the Green Street is now a halfway house for us. So it's part of our residential services. So now I know, at least from the inpatient level of care, we are constantly referring our folks to them for anybody who's in need of residential services. It's one of our, we're transitioning a bunch of them to 820 programs as well. Susan, I'm not sure where we're at with that. Maybe you're more aware of the details of that, but we're definitely still utilizing the Green Street Building for our residential services.
I have the same information on that you do, Emily. I'm not exactly sure where we are in the process right at this moment.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we'll have to explore that later on.
Okay, sounds good.
Next question. Are there waiting lists for local services for inpatient and outpatient? And if so, what kind of waiting time are they looking at?
So for our inpatient level of care, we do have a waiting list, and it really fluctuates because the length of stay changes for so many of our patients. A lot of times folks will come right into our detox program and then directly transition to our inpatient if they choose to stay within our building or within Helio. The waiting list, like I said, it really varies. We go based on the priority based from OASIS. So if a female who is pregnant and an IV drug user, they're going to be the number one priority to get in. And so we have to follow the scope for the priority based on that. So the wait time really varies based on a lot of different scenarios.
And as far as the outpatient setting goes, I know I've said this a few times, but someone can come in at any time, have an assessment completed same day. And then depending on that patient or client's schedule, we can provide services within anywhere from that same day to meet their counselor to, you know, 5 to 7 days.
Thank you. Next question, Emily, you talked about the OASIS. And so this individual is wondering about the OASIS has awarded $1.8 million to Central New York Treatment and Recovery Facilities. And how will that impact Helio, and how will you kind of use that funding moving forward?
Susan might know more on this one because I'm not as broken down with the financials for that as for Helio as a whole, because I'm in a very small portion of it. Susan, do you want to take that one?
Sure. We just got some information about this yesterday. I don't have a ton, but I'll share what I know. So Helio Health is the lead agency in the Central New York Behavioral Healthcare Collaborative. And we're partnered with a bunch of different agencies in the region to work together to promote a healthy community. And so my understanding is that some of this funding is going toward that effort, where we will put our resources and our brains together to figure out what steps to take next in overcoming the opioid crisis.
Great, thank you. Sure. Next question, are you fully staffed? Are you hiring, and in which areas?
I mean, I can speak on behalf of outpatient. We are definitely hiring. We definitely have positions in our counselors, our case managers, our peers, our nurses. We have multiple physician spots open. I did forget to mention, we have an entire med suite available for both med management, but also to support patients in other medical challenges that they're facing. So we have a large med suite too, actually. So counselors, case manager, peers, we have openings.
And I can speak on the housing side also. We are definitely hiring for a lot of positions within our residential properties, residential specialists, and folks who work day to day with the people that we serve. We do have a careers tab on our website. You could reach us at www.helio.health, and you can get a full listing of all of the positions that we have available right now. There are quite a few.
Great, thanks. I think, Susan, this question's for you. Do you have outreach and training programs for neighborhood residents so they can access jobs with Helio? It sounds like some of them might be somewhat specialized. So what kind of training are you looking at?
That's an excellent question. I'm not aware of any outreach programs, but we do have a training institute here at Helio Health. And that is for all of us internally to get trained on a variety of topics, but also we do offer trainings to the community.
Susan, I can also add to that. There is actually currently, so one of the newer positions that are in outpatient settings and inpatient settings are peer support specialists. And they're a wonderful asset to our agency and to a lot of agencies, because it's someone that has gone through, that is in recovery themselves, that tend to have walked the walk with a lot of our patients. And currently there was a scholarship granted through, I think it was the state, don't hold me to it, but that allowed for local, you know, residents to actually start the process of becoming a peer specialist. And they're actually doing internships in our outpatient setting as we speak. They're shadowing current peers, which then allows them to do their peer training courses, and it allows them to kind of eventually get their license to do it. And not only is there a scholarship to pay for the training, but there's actually a financial stipend that allows for them to be supported while going through this program.
Great, thank you. So you talked about in the beginning that you also work with folks who are addicted to gambling. So are there other kinds of non-traditional addictions that Helio helps individuals overcome?
Yes. I mean, gambling is one of the bigger ones because it falls under the scope of the some of our regulatory boards. But because we have so many counselors that tend to get passionate about specific areas, we really do. We have art therapists in our building. We have therapists that work specifically with the geriatric population. We have, again, counselors that work specifically with younger kids, teenage kids. We have counselors that work just with addiction. And then we have many counselors that work with the many different challenges facing our population in mental health. So whether it's someone that has bipolar or borderline, we have counselors that work with them closely that have actually been specifically trained in that area. We also have counselors that work in the criminal justice population that have been trained in areas to support and work with that population. So that's just a few off the top of my head, but yes, we because we're so fortunate enough to have a large workforce, it really allows us to really pivot and help and support where it's needed. I know Mary and I were just working on a grant not too long ago with the LGBT community and supporting that population, because that's been a really challenging population that isn't getting a ton of support. And so we, not only do we already do that, but we constantly want to educate our staff to be better counselors and help all different groups. But that's one grant, for example, that we're working with, so.
Great, thank you. Ben, you just talked about counselors dealing with folks involved with criminal justice, and we've heard some different stories in the news about incidents of mental health crises out in the community and police getting involved. Does Helio ever send out counselors kind of, out on the streets to help those individuals? They're not necessarily dealing with police on their own.
Yeah, so in the, I know I've talked about the CODI team specifically. There are counselors, there are case managers, there are peers involved in that department that can go out to support individuals. So that are, some of these counselors are trained, they're LMHCs or they're social workers, but they're out in the streets helping. We currently have a satellite office in West Jenny High School. One of Mary's staff is stationed there to support high school students who are in the middle of trying to become a satellite at Marcellus to support that high school. We have the ability to get counselors out in the community at any given day.
Great, thank you. Can you kind of go around, each of you kind of talk about what it looked like when COVID, kind of shut everything down? I can imagine like the inpatient services probably had to drastically change. So can you just each kind of talk about how your work had to kind of adapt and change to help folks?
Absolutely. So our inpatient never closed. We're still open 24/7. We did have to make some adjustments because we had some physical restrictions with our building in order to incorporate appropriate social distancing and all of that. So that has definitely been a huge challenge. So we've had to really revamp our program schedules and kind of readjust our staffing to make sure things are being appropriately followed through on. So the social distancing is tough, trying to have a group of adults stand 6 feet apart from each other while wearing a mask. We definitely get some pushback on it, but that's a huge priority for us. So we've really like cut the size of our groups in half. So physically like with the people. So we've divided them so that way we can have people more spread out, and they actually seem to be utilizing the telehealth services really well. So each of our inpatient folks have an iPad while they're in treatment, and so they can log on to our Teams meetings and participate in our groups that way. And so we actually have an array of services that are still able to be provided. We really have tried to not cut back on things as much, as long as we can still do them safely. So for example, our inpatient program, we have a small gym within our building. And so rather than taking the gym fully away, we have limited the number of folks who are allowed in there at a time. So that way they can still promote that type of wellness as well. But we prior to COVID, we were having family visitation as well. So our folks could have family and loved ones come in once a week by based on who their counselor is for every counselor at a late night. So they were able to facilitate that. But we did have to part with that temporarily just for the safety of everybody within our building, staff and patients included. But other than that, we've really enhanced just all of our PPE, all of our social distancing, all of that just to ensure that all of our folks are being safe.
As far as outpatient goes, again, we within a 2 week window, we went to 100% remote. To this day, we still do about 80% telehealth services with all of our patients. For the most part, our staff were in the building this entire time. Like Emily said, we had to promote social distancing and mask wearing, safety measures of having the correct PPE to support both patients and our staff. But we're constantly innovating and trying to support both our staff and patients. So recently we worked with a third party company to be able to send consents virtually via email to be signed and then emailed back. So there isn't necessarily a need to come in. So literally 100% of someone's care could potentially be telehealth. Because we have so many services to offer, of course, if someone feels comfortable enough to come in, that's also, we support that too. But we have every means to both do telehealth and or in person. Now every single counselor case manager and peer in our building have laptops and video capabilities to do telehealth services.
Yeah, and within the Child and Adolescent Clinic, we switched over to telehealth as well, which is a fairly steep learning curve for us. We provide a lot of play therapy services for little kiddos, and figuring out how to offer play therapy remotely was a unique challenge that we hadn't anticipated. So we've really tried to navigate individually what the families need and what they have access to in terms of technology, and how we can help kiddos, especially kiddos with behavioral problems, that we aren't able to see in person or kind of interact with. But we are making it work. I think it's been a process of kind of adjusting constantly over the last year. And we're just trying to see as things change, as families feel comfortable and safe coming in or not, we're kind of always thinking on our feet. But we've been able to continue providing the services, which is huge. I think just being kind of a lifeline, a touch point for support, someone to call as things have been difficult over the last year, has really helped our families.
Great, thank you so much. Next question, do you serve or work with incarcerated individuals?
I can speak a little bit to this one because I sit on the Onondaga County Reentry Task Force, which is a group that works in conjunction with parole and a bunch of other community agencies. And certain inmates are referred to our group, and we try to figure out a plan for them upon their release. So if they need substance use treatment, we can refer them to the appropriate agency. Sometimes they need some job training, or we can get them set up at SUNY EOC for college courses or getting a GED. If they need services at DSS, we connect them that way. So I would say between parole and probation, we do serve, we do work quite a bit with the incarcerated population. We also have several programs at the Jamesville Jail, where our case managers work with people who are actually in jail and then helping them with a plan for when they come out so they can hopefully not be reincarcerated.
Great, thanks. Next question, are your child and adolescent programs involved with the Syracuse City School District like they are with the West Genesee High School?
So we don't have counselors embedded in any of the Syracuse City schools the way that we have a counselor placed in West Jenny, but our counselors through the outpatient clinic do coordinate with all the school systems. So we try to get consent for the schools and the information for the school counselors and the school social workers so that we can help provide support and services. So we work pretty closely with the schools. I mean, that's a big system that our kids and our families are interacting with. So we really try to integrate that into the treatment, but we aren't in any of the Syracuse City schools.
Yeah, I think an additional local agency is, I think it's Literary Resources that works with the Syracuse School District on a satellite level like we are with West Jenny.
Great, thank you. Next question, what is your average client demographic profile in terms of males and females, like age, familial status, ethnicity, are they employed, you know, et cetera? And what kind of trends are you seeing along those lines?
So as far as demographics go, because we're a large agency, you know, we absolutely see everyone. I would say on average, you know, that 25 to 45 year old is the average age that we see. As far as percentages, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's pretty diverse as far as who we're seeing. And then, you know, because we have a large methadone program, and MAT program, you know, we definitely have a lot of, patients that are needing additional, MAT support in addition to their, mental health or other kind of counseling.
Yeah. And within the Child and Adolescent Clinic, you know, we certainly see a broad range in terms of demographics and socioeconomic status. The majority of our patients do have medical assistance on some sort of Medicaid, but we have private pay patients. We have private commercial insurance patients. You know, we have patients from kind of every walk of life that we see. So it's pretty diverse.
And of course, our goal is always to reach out to as many people as possible. So we're always looking into ways to have more people recognize that we're here to support them. Like I said earlier, you know, we were just working on a grant that's working specifically with the LGBT community that are needing support. So we're constantly trying to grow and kind of broaden our net as far as supporting and helping people.
Great, thank you. I think we have time for one more question. So you talked about adapting and growing and everything and how you had to shift to kind of telehealth. Do you foresee keeping some telehealth for folks who may not be able to get to your physical spaces?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you know, every day, of course, comes with a different idea or thought process on how we can deliver more services to more people. Because like I said earlier, you know, there's too many people to help and not enough people to help them. So any way we can support more and help more people, the better. And this, I think in a lot of industries, we've discovered that telehealth wasn't this scary, bad thing that was going to lower productivity or, you know, allow people to not work as well. In fact, just the opposite has happened. We have a small percentage of our counselors working from home who are quite productive and see a lot of patients, and it hasn't dropped at all. So I think we're trying to figure out and navigate ways to not only keep telehealth going, but use it to our advantage to help more people.
Great. Thank you so much. So we are coming up on the end of our hour. So I want to thank our panelists from Helio. I know I learned a lot. I'm sure everyone did as well. And I'm getting some thank yous from the chat just to thank you all because there is so much need out there with the mental health and opioid and, you know, substance abuse in our community. So thank you so much, everyone, and have a great weekend.